change your life.
All right. Elohim Tov.
Tov has heard.
I heard it, boy. More than just me and you.
Elohim Tov.
Kol Hasman.
All right, you hear that, YouTube? We're back.
We're back, baby.
Free. Praise God. And Pastor Ben has something to say first, and then I'll be back.
He ain't going nowhere. I ain't going to be but a man.
Yeah, okay.
So, Abigail, what's the name of the young lady that got the podcast for us, Ken?
Kat Canning.
Kat Canning.
Yeah.
We want to thank you, first of all, for putting up and maintaining the S4C podcast. It ain't no joke. It looks beautiful, and it's a lot of work.
Yep.
And we want to make sure we take the time to say thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
We're back in the house. You may not like President Trump, but you got to respect what the brother's doing.
Amen.
Amen. Whether he know Jesus or not, that's not, I don't know. Whether he's going to be in the cloud party with us or not, or after the 7 years, I don't know. But I do know that the Lord is using him for a purpose, and that's part of the reason we're sitting in the seat this morning.
Yeah. Amen.
So you ain't got to like him, but you got to love what God's got him doing.
Amen.
All right. So what I want to say is I need you guys. We want to get our calendar back going. We want to get the monthly, what do you call that?
Newsletter.
Newsletter going. And so I need some input from you. Tell me, send me what the Lord has done for you during these 3 months. How has this affected and brought you closer to Christ? What has happened that you want the world to know that blessed you? Give me some stuff so that we can start getting this word out. We ain't got that much time, so don't take
Amen.
Too long. And what else I got? What else I got? Those of you that blessed us during this whole thing and that kept blessing with your prayers, with your letters, with your cards, with your financial support, thank you so much in the name of Jesus. You know who you are. We thank you. Even if you didn't have a nickel to send, if you had a prayer to send up, praise the Lord for you.
Amen.
It ain't all about money. It ain't all about money. It's about prayer and support, and you're being there. Our numbers have skyrocketed. The Lord is what the enemy tried to take us down with. God built us up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So thank you. We're going to give Pastor Sandy a rest next week or the week after. I'm going to be speaking, so I hope you tune in. Pastor Sandy is preaching straight 3-4 services a week for 3 months. We don't want to kill him yet. We want to be raptured. We don't want to kill him. So you're going to have to stuck with me at least one service. So, amen. But God bless you in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, okay. I'm just happy to see everybody.
Amen.
This is a blessing. All the kids are here. Man, it's just good to see people in the house. I am sad because Amber was supposed to say something. But
it's all
good because she gonna come back another time.
Yes, she is.
Because she,
but she wanna be ministered to. She
no,
don't wanna.
Okay.
She wanna,
I'm not gonna force her.
Amen. She wanna be ministered
but
to.
I would love. But if she did, anyway.
I got you, Amber. Don't worry, baby. I got you.
But I wanna honor Minister Amber because. I am so impressed by your life.
Yes.
Amber, I am impressed by your walk in Christ, your life in Christ, your determination in Christ. For you to have gone through everything that you've gone through and standing and saying Jesus is Lord shows when your mother passed, I saw your strength.
Mm-hmm.
When your husband was sick and needed a new heart, I saw you sit by his side. I mean, even come off of your job and stop working so that you could take care of your husband.
Yeah.
And when your husband passed, I thought, oh my God, this girl's just going through too much. And you still came out standing strong. Speaking of
you. And so I just want to tell you I am so impressed. And the Lord gave me a dream because now I knew you was coming. The Lord gave me a dream. Now, check out this dream. So this family decides to move to Texas, right? And the dad comes in and say, I'm gonna go before you guys. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna go to Texas. And then you guys come later and then join me there. I'm gonna go get everything ready for you, right? So the dad is like, he gets in the car, he drives off. The little boy starts crying like crazy. And I'm like, somebody whipped that kid. And the mother, I'm thinking, because I'm watching it, and the mother's going, what are you crying for? And he said, because daddy's gone. And she's like, he didn't die, he just went to Texas. And then the little boy started crying again, and she said, she sat him down quietly, and she said, your dad just went before us. We're going to join him soon. And the Lord said, that's for Amber. You tell her nobody's dead. Somebody is waiting for you. And he just went a little sooner, okay? So what the Lord showed me is going to be fulfilled. Yeah. All three, Big Mike, Little Mike, and Amber will be standing at the party. Nothing has changed. And I don't want to mention Danita, because Danita's like Superwoman. I don't know. She's been doing this for a long time. She told me she used to take care of her sisters. You was the mom when they was young. So I don't know what kind of award you getting in heaven, but I'm like, I don't even know if they got enough. I'd be like, wow. I mean, we went over and saw the kids, and I mean, all them kids happy.
I know, right?
I know, them kids happy. I'm like, Danita, you something else, I'm telling you. I love you.
Amen.
I love you. You are something else. I love you. I've never seen a heart like that. Mm-hmm. I love you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into the word today. And before I get started in this word, first, I'm going to say hello to all of our YouTube family all over the world. And we are all over the world. I can't believe that. We are all over the world. Anyway, I want to give this this message right here. The Lord said to tell you this before I get started. It says, you have dominion over Satan. Do you guys know you have dominion over Satan?
Yes.
How many of you guys know that Satan cannot do anything in your life without your permission? Do you know that?
Yes.
Okay. Because the Lord was trying to show me this morning that each and every one of us have authority and dominion over Satan. The only time that Satan can do something in your life is if you be quiet. Mm-hmm. If he starts up, and the Lord said, explain it to you this way. Can a police officer stop crimes from happening?
No.
Crimes are gonna happen. We have police all stations all over the place. Crimes still happen. Can a police officer arrest and stop the crime when it happens?
Yes.
Yes, you know what that's called? Authority. Okay? So when you see something happen, God expects Christians to act in a place of authority.
Yeah.
A crime can only happen when a police officer is there and stays quiet. Mm. And say, oh, wow, they're robbing the place over there. Hope nobody trips. And he goes to his car and he leaves.
Mm.
That's a horrible police officer. It's a horrible Christian that sees that someone is sick and nobody wants to lay hands because they don't think they have the authority.
Mm.
When the scripture says that you have authority to lay hands on the sick,
yeah,
and the sick shall recover.
Yeah.
See, y'all want to do Benny Hinn's. If somebody don't start walking right away, you think, oh, it didn't work. He said, they shall recover.
Yeah.
I want to know how you're doing 2 months from now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I knew that was going to happen because the word is true, right? So the Lord said, the faith kills fear. You understand that?
Yes.
If you have faith in God, you will not live in fear. Okay? If you're fearful of anything, it's because you don't trust God can do it. Faith kills fear. And the Lord says, obedience kills sin.
Amen.
Obedience kills sin. And you know what sin does? Causes problems. But if you're obedient, you can kill sin. Okay? So, the name brings everything in order. Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, is the authoritative name in the whole universe. It is the name that God gave to Yeshua to be the authoritative name in the whole universe. If you don't use it, if you don't use the name, it is not God's fault if you don't use the name. Understand? You have it because he said when he rose, I've given all this authority over to you.
Yeah.
Okay? So you have it. You must use it in every situation. That means you got to be praying in the situations that you're in. If there's things that you desire in your life, you got to be bringing it before God in the name of the name of authority, which is Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm saying that because the Lord told me to, because you have to operate in victory while you're here.
Amen.
Okay. You cannot operate a defeated foe while you're here because you're quiet or because you're living in fear and you don't want to say the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus is the sole authority in the whole universe. Angels stop when you say Jesus.
Yes.
Because they want to know what? Okay, what we need to do.
Right.
Okay? Now give the order, okay? So I operate in authority. I'm telling you right now. I don't fear nothing. I operate in authority, okay?
Amen.
If you even mention you sick, I'm gonna start praying in Jesus' name for you, okay? Because that is the authoritative name. He died for this.
Yeah.
Okay? Use it. Praise God.
Amen.
All right, let's go to Micah chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord wants to know that how in the world does Satan take the doctrine of the rapture away from God? If God mentions the rapture in the Bible so much, how is it that Satan has taken the doctrine of the rapture out of the Bible?
Amen.
How's he been able to do that? And he doesn't even use non-believers to do it. He uses believers to take this doctrine out of your mouth because God says it's your blessed hope and you're supposed to encourage each other by it, okay?
Amen.
That's what it's for, to let you know, I know we here, we're in a battle, we're in a war, but the Bible says one day the leader of this military army is going to cause us all to defect and to leave, okay?
Yeah.
And he says, no matter how tough the war gets, remember that the military general is going to pull you all out before the war is over. Because you know when the rapture happens, that the war still is going on for 7 years?
Yeah.
Okay? So, but he's pulling you out because he's saying it's time for you to go. The war is over for you. You are what apostasia, you've defected from the war. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've left. And so Satan has used a lot of people in the church to cause other people to not talk about the rapture.
Amen.
One of the young ladies that used to listen to us, he said, her dad said, if we're not raptured by 2018, I don't want you talking about that in the house no more. And I'm like, she's like, but you know, it's like something that we should be looking forward to. Nah, you're just getting everybody excited and letting everybody down. I'm like, ah. But that's what comes when it comes. Now, if it was your child's wedding, because this is God's son's wedding, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it was your child's wedding and somebody said, that ain't no big deal, stop talking about that. You'd be like, that's all we talking about till the wedding day.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
But Satan's been able to do this to us. And so I want us to read Micah chapter 7 verse 1, because I want us to have a full understanding of what's going on. Today's message is called Reality Check. The reality of this world is that people who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ, people who have said that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, have an incredible future ahead of them, okay? It doesn't stop by going to heaven. We got 1,000 years to reign and rule with Christ on the earth. Do you know that?
Yeah.
That means, after the rapture, you ain't done.
Right.
You like think you gonna get raptured, go up there and find a lounge chair? you might get one. They might even bring you a drink, you know? And like, here you go, here's your smoothie or whatever. It might be, it's gonna be nice, but we're not done. You got at least 1,000 years to reign and rule with Christ on this earth, okay? Because he's coming back to this earth, and he says when he comes back, he's coming back with his sheaves behind him. And they're on white horses too. And we're riding back with Jesus. You haven't even thought about how incredible that is. You probably never even rode a horse. But to me, when I read that, I went, wait a minute. Stop and read that again. He's going to be on a white horse in front of us with a sword of judgment coming out of his mouth. And we're going to be on white horses behind him, dressed in white. And we're going to see this. To me, that we think about it and it's like, that's crazy. I'm like, I can't wait because I want to see that, right? You've got to understand that God's plan is a glorious, wonderful plan by God. This is not a small plan. You understand? Someone said, this scientist said, we're still trying to figure out how did life come into existence. Because he says, we know all the parts, but he says, it's like having all the letters, but you really want a book. See, you got to have somebody to come and take all the letters and put them in order and then make a language. And then he says, what God did was he took a bunch of parts and put them together and made life. That's who you're dealing with. And then he said, let me put the sun in a perfect position in the sky so it keeps them warm, but it don't kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And let me put oxygen. Do you know there's not no oxygen anywhere else?
Right.
It's here. Right. So the God that you accepted as your Lord and Savior, who died so you could come out of sin, did all of this.
Yes.
And his next plan is what? To take you out of here so that he can clean this place up and bring you back. Okay? And if you don't understand that plan, you're missing it. You're part of something big. You didn't join the club, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. You joined a universal plan by God. Okay? I'm with it.
Amen.
So here we are in the 120th year, and we're almost at Pentecost, and I'm still trying to get Christians excited about Jesus and leaving. Even though the Bible talks about it from Genesis to Revelation, I still have to forcibly teach it. Okay? And this is what it says. It said, what misery is mine? This is God speaking. He says, I am like one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. Stop right there. The early fruit begins to come right after the summer breaks. Okay? Right at the summer break, early fruits begin to come, okay? And they begin to show up on the earth because, first of all, they've taken the barley harvest, and then they've taken the wheat harvest, and the wheat harvest is gone, and then they're coming back, they're looking for the early fruit after the wheat harvest is gone. So God is not only telling you what's going on here, he's telling you at what season this is happening. That's why the scripture says, but you know that summer is near, okay? And says God wants you to know when he's talking about the end time, look for this at a time of the year in a season, okay? Because the harvests are planned.
Amen.
So he says here, in verse 2, he said, it says this, the godly have a vod from the land. Is that what everybody's Bible says? What does your Bible say? Swept is not the word avad. Avad means vanish. Okay? And it's, you can't use it like if I came and I took you away and I took you to the store, somebody, then that would say I lakached you. I just came and I took you to the store, right? And that would have to be forcibly. But if I say you vanished, if I say avad, I'm meaning you saw smoke in the air and then it disappeared. That's the word avad, okay? The scripture is saying the righteous have disappeared like a puff of smoke. They're gone. Can you find smoke after it's gone? No, they're gone, okay? So the scripture is saying the righteous have avad, but English writers, you know, we're trying to find it, make sense of stuff. It says the godly have avad from the land. When did they avod? Before the early fruit. Do you understand? Before the early fruit, the righteous have avod. So before the early summer fruit, the righteous disappear. And it says, not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. What happens after the righteous avod? People get mean, right? Sounds like people get mean. What does they say? It says, not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The rulers demand a gift. The judge accept a bribe. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them are like a briar, and the most upright is worse than a thorn hedge. So when the church is gone, he said, ain't no righteous people left on the earth. Everybody's out for self. They just told him that we had a coronavirus, and we were closing a few things down. Before you know it, people were at the stores taking everything. Then nobody said, well, I'm going to save a little in case somebody else needs some. So I want you to know the nature of human beings, okay? We are survivalists, okay? We cool as long as there's enough for all of us, all right? But when it gets thin, people will push you around, get mean, start cursing, they ain't saved. And that's what the world is about to see very soon, okay? What saves you from this? Jesus Christ, he's the one that says to make sure that you are ready when I come, because he is coming to take you away from this. What is this? This is the tribulation that Israel is going to experience before having their child, which is the nation of Israel. But she has to have two children. Let's continue and read this, because I got to read to 11. It says, the best of them is like a briar, and the most upright worse than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchman has come. Who's a watchman? We are. Soldiers for Christ is watchmen. Okay? I ain't prophesying nothing. I'm watching and I'm seeing what's going on and I'm letting you know, be ready.
Right.
Okay? It says, the day God visit you is now. Now is the time of their confusion. So when we leave, he says, now is going to be the time of the world's confusion. They're going to go into panic mode, okay? Because you're going to see a lot. It's amazing to me that Psalms 120, which stands for the year 2020, begins by, Father, deliver us from lies. And what lie is going on right now? When you have to use mannequins on TV to prove that somebody's dying from the coronavirus, when you got people telling other people that 100,000 people are dying every day, and you know that ain't true, and you're telling people that hospitals are packed everywhere, and you go to the hospital, ain't nobody there. So Psalms 120 starts off by, Lord, deliver us from lies and from all these deceptions. But the second part says Israel goes to war.
Yeah.
So you have to understand there's a second half of 2020, but there's a first half. He's going to deliver us from these lies. Here we go. Verse 5. Do not trust in a neighbor. When the church is gone, I'm talking to non-believers now, or lukewarm Christianity. Once the church is gone, do not trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend. Even with her who lies in your embrace, be careful of your words. He's telling you what's going to happen. Do you guys know what a government tracker is? Anybody here need a job? You can go on the website of the hospital thing, John Hopkins, and you can apply to be a corona tracer, a government tracer. That means they're going to train you online to turn people in if you think they're sick.
Wow.
And they're hiring them now. You can go on and go through the classes and get certified. So they're getting, see, this is the problem with Christianity. Satan is like this. I believe the Bible. I'm getting ready. Christians are like this. I don't know if the Bible is true. I'm not getting ready. Satan is like, I believe the Bible. I've read it. I've seen it happen for 6,000 years. I'm going to get ready. Christians, I read the Bible, but I don't know if it's true. Why can't we be like that? Why can't we go, I believe the Bible is about to happen.
Right.
I'm getting ready, right? Amen. This is how we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be preparing ourselves for the coming of Christ. So here it is. It says, do not trust a neighbor, put no confidence in a friend, even with her whom lies in your embrace. Be careful. For a son dishonors his father, a daughter rises up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the members of his own household. But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior, my God will hear me. You hear that? Now, we're going to get into something else now. Israel is going to be in trouble at that time. Remember, deliver us from lies is only the first part of Psalms 120, okay? And we need to be delivered from lies. I know everybody believes. I don't think anybody believes it anymore. But when they brought this thing in, everybody was like, this ain't right. This ain't really happening. I'm not seeing what they're showing me on TV, okay? But the second half, we got to remember, Israel is going to be attacked, okay? And so here we have, it says, this is what Israel says to the world. Same, verse 8. Do not gloat over me, my enemies. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath. What's the wrath? Tribulation. Until he pleads my case and establishes my right, he will bring me out into the light. I will see the righteousness, then my enemies will see it and will be covered with shame. She who says to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will see her downfall. Even now, she will be trampled underfoot like mire in the street. Praise God.
Amen.
So when they gloat over the fact that, hey, the church is gone, where's your protection now? Where's your God now? Israel says, hey, don't gloat over my fall, because kumati, I rise, and God is watching over me. This is about to happen. Let's watch over this right now. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Why was the whole church in an uproar in 2017? First of all, it was a Jubilee year. It was at 50, if anybody know what I'm talking about. It was a jubilee year, right? It was 50 years after 1967, okay? So, in that jubilee year, things are supposed to happen, okay? In the jubilee year, we have this sign in the sky of the Virgin and the 12 stars. We have all these signs that went on during 2017 because it was a jubilee year. Every Christian knew this is a big year. I've been talking about 2010 to 2017 for a long time. And I knew 2017 is the 120th jubilee. It's time for God to act, okay? And so, in Revelation chapter 12, it's telling you what's going to happen, okay? Now watch what it reads. It says, a great and wondrous sign appeared in the heavens. A woman clothed in the sun with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant. Wait a minute, that first sign there, all those had to happen. A woman clothed in the sun and the moon, and it says has the 12 stars. This constellation appears every year for 2,000 years, but it's only appeared with 12 stars twice at the birth of Jesus in 2017.
Yep. Wow. Yep.
So therefore, we knew something's going to happen now. And it says, she was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule over all nations with an iron scepter. And her child was harpazoed up to God. Her child was raptured up to God. Soon as you read that, you go, stop. Jesus never got raptured up to God. Jesus ascended himself up to God. Do you know harpazo means to forcibly snatch you and pull you up? Jesus, it doesn't even use the word in Acts that he raptured up. It says he ascended up in heaven. So God is saying a male child is going to be born to Israel, to this woman who is about to be pregnant, to this woman who is pregnant. A male child is going to be born to her, okay? And who is this male child? Because the church is going to be what? Raptured. So then what about Israel? Does she have children too? She has children that she wants to birth as well. And that's where we're at right now. The male child is about to be born. And then after 7 years, Israel will have their own children. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 66. You in 66?
Yeah.
Verse 7. Is the tribulation the birth pains? Yes. The 7 years of tribulation is called the birth pains of Israel. Why is it the birth pains of Israel? Because she's about to give birth to her own children.
Yeah.
You understand? She's going to go through 7 years of tribulation. Then she's going to give birth to the nation of Israel. And there'll be many children of the nation of Israel that will come into the fold of God. And God is looking forward to the day that his own people come back to him and are birthed into the kingdom. You understand? So Israel, but this other thing happened. It says, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before pain comes upon her, she delivers a son, a male child. You understand? From Revelation 12, she's about to deliver a male child. And what is this male child? the church.
Yes.
Now watch this. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who's ever heard of a woman giving birth before she going into labor? But God says this is going to happen to Israel. What he's basically saying is, before the tribulation happens, the child that Israel birthed into the world, which is the church, because without Israel, you don't have a church.
Right.
Because without Israel, you don't have a Jesus.
Right.
And without Israel, you don't have a Savior.
Right.
So therefore, Israel is the one who birthed us into this world, because it came through Christ, through the nation of Israel. Okay?
Amen.
So she's got to have her first child first, but she's not going to go through tribulation to have you. Somebody should say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What the scripture is saying is this child is going to be birthed before the tribulation.
Yeah.
Before Israel goes into any pain, the church is leaving. And so that is the thing that God says, this is your blessed hope.
Yeah.
You're not going to see the tribulation.
Amen.
And that's what we need to be joyful about. Will you have hard times here? God says you may have some hard times here.
Yeah.
But if you operate in authority, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But if you don't operate in authority, you're going to struggle with Satan, because you don't stop crimes. You just show your badge and walk on. But Ryan knows a police officer has to say something. You can't just, what is that, man? Is that a security guard badge or a real badge? They don't know from there. You got to say something. So we've got to use the name of Jesus while we're here and walk in victory while we're here. You understand?
Amen.
And then we leave in victory. I don't want to leave here whimpering up in a corner saying, oh, I'm just so glad you took me, because Satan was about to punch me again. You need to be dictating to him.
That's right.
Yes.
My marriage will be saved in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I will be healed in Jesus'
yes.
name. You need to be doing that.
Yeah.
Not being quiet about things you're supposed to have authority over.
Amen. 15, Pastor.
And you're going to leave before. And that's the blessed hope. It says, who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? Can a country be born in a day? Or a nation be born in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor then she gives birth to her own children. Okay? Because Israel's going to give birth to her own children. When? After labor. After tribulation. You guys know about Rachel in the Bible? Rachel had two children.
Yeah.
What's the first child called? Joseph. What does Joseph mean? God will add. God will multiply.
Yes.
The first child that Israel's birth, what have we done as the church? We have multiplied. We have gained believer after believer after believer. We might gain a few more before we leave.
Yeah.
The second child that she has is hard labor. She even dies giving birth to it. And who is that? The nation of Israel. Because it's going to be a hard pain to birth them out of tribulation, but God is going to do it. And even she said, name him Benonim, which means child of sorrow. And he says, no. The dad says, no, he's going to be Benjamin, son of my right hand. Because Israel is going to be joined to God, but not till after the tribulation. So what is our joy? To leave before the tribulation.
Yes.
And now you're in the 120th year. You're almost summer. Don't you know that summer is near? I keep dropping hints. Two women were grinding at the mill. Hint, what's that mean? Ain't nobody grinding fruit in the fall.
Right.
You understand? your fruit is developed in the fall, in the late summer and the fall. They said they're grinding meal. That means either spring or early summer. And so he says, two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. Hold up. If they're grinding at the mill, now you're telling me what time of year it's going to happen. But we don't think about these things, okay? I want us to go to Ezekiel. Watch this. Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 1 through 7.
10 minutes, Pastor.
That's okay. I can do this, I think. Watch this. Okay. Now, I don't know how much you guys have studied your Bible, but Ezekiel 38 and 39 is about the end times. Ezekiel 40 through 40 to the rest of it is talking about God building the temple. Okay? It's talking about God, after he returns, building the temple. Okay? Because when Jesus returns, you know what he's promised? I'm saying Ezekiel chapter 43. Yes. 43. Did I say Ezekiel 43? Okay. One, and we're going to read 1 through 7. After Jesus builds the temple, then who's going to live in the temple? Jesus. Watch this. Okay, watch this. It says, the Son of Man brought me to the gate. This is Ezekiel. This is Jesus, and he's built the temple. The glorious return to the temple. Okay? That's what my 43 is titled in mine. It says, then the man brought me to the gate facing the east, and I saw the glory of God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roaring of a rushing water, and the land was radiant with glory. The vision I saw was like the vision I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and like the vision I had seen by Kibor River, and I fell face down. The glory of the Lord entered the temple through the gate facing east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. While the man was standing beside me, this is Jesus, I heard someone speaking. Well, it might have been an angel, but it says, I heard someone speaking to me from inside the temple. He said, Son of Man, this is the place of my throne. He's inside the temple that he builds when we get back. And he's saying, this is where I'm going to sit. This is my throne. Watch this. He says, Son of Man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet. This is where I will live among the Israelites forever. The house of Israel will never again defile my holy name, neither they nor their kings by their prostitutes and lies and all of these things. But he's saying what? This place that I built in Israel, this is where the soles of my feet are going to be. This is where I'm going to live. When we return, Christ is reigning and ruling on the earth for 1,000 years. But before, see, this is too big for you. There's so much that has happened in the world, and we don't think about it. We don't think about God predicting when both world wars were going to happen. We don't think about that. We don't think about the fact that God already predicted Hitler in the book of Esther thousands of years before Hitler even came. He already predicted what year Hitler would die. You're not thinking about a big God with big plans. You walk outside, you see a sun sitting in the sky, and you don't think, wow, that God's pretty big. But the scientist said, God, I am so far from being close to answering who God is. He said, I have accepted Jesus Christ. You know why? He said, because we got all the parts that make up life. We know each part, but how do you put them all together and make them speak and stand up and put flesh on them? We haven't figured that part out yet. So now we don't know where life began. It's like more we study it, the further we get from it. So you guys got to understand you're dealing with something big. We are dealing with something big. Now, I'm going to read one more scripture because I think I have enough time.
5 minutes.
Okay. Let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 25. When you get to Romans, let me know. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 11. All right. because I am.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Watch this. Here we go. You in Romans chapter 11? All right, you stay there. I'm going to read this real fast. It's in Acts 15, 13. Watch this. No, I'm in 16. Jesus says this. He says, this is what Jesus says in verse 14. Simon, in verse Acts 15 through verse 14, it says, Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentile a people for himself. The word of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, after I will return and rebuild David's fallen tabernacle or tent, its ruins I will rebuild. I will restore it that the remnant of men may seek the face of the Lord and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things. So God's plan is, before he rebuilds the temple, he's got to take out of the world a people of his own. From who? From the Gentiles. He's going to take out a Gentile people for himself, for his name first, okay? That's the son that gets snatched away. The whole scripture is telling us about our future.
Yes.
And rather we're joyful about our future to go, or we're joyful about our future to be here, we should be in victory rather there or here.
Yes.
Because Jesus' name is authority both there and here.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
Now I'm going to go to Romans. Chapter 11, verse 25. Is that it? Yes. And it says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Because don't be all mad at Israel. Oh, they don't believe in Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus. He said, don't go there. All right? They're in the position they are because God planned them to be there so that they could reject Jesus and they could ask for his death so that you could have a Savior.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
And it says, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles come in. And it don't mean they come into the knowledge. This word in Greek means to travel, leave, and enter into a city.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we study.
Yeah.
Because if you just say, come in, I wonder if when all the Gentiles come into the knowledge of Jesus,
right,
then no, that's not what the word's saying. You got to go back to the Greek. Because the Greek is saying, when all of the Gentiles travel and enter into a city, leaving here, mm-hmm, it says, then Jesus is coming. Okay? Now watch what it says. It says, the deliverer will, it says, here, let me read this first. And so, okay, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles come in. And so all Israel will be saved as it is written. So God is going to come back and save who?
Israel.
The deliverer will come out of Zion and will turn godlessness away from Jacob. Who's Jacob?
Israel.
So God has plans to save Israel. And God has plans to save the Gentiles.
Yes.
Woo! That's a blessing.
Hallelujah.
It's a blessing. And the great thing about this is, if you operate in it, because God says there's a lot of Christians that operate with authority and never use it. Kids get sick right in front of them. They cry all night. Don't pray once. God said there are Christians that operate like this. There are Christians that people will call and say, we're going to come and take your car. And instead of praying, they hide in the car. They ain't nobody prayed.
Yep.
Like, Lord, you know I need this car in Jesus' name. I pray your protection over it, right?
Yeah.
Now, it'll help you pay the bill. You're not going to bypass laws, right? But you got to pray over situations. You understand? Especially those that Jesus died for. Illnesses, prosperity, knowledge, soundness, all of these things, your marriages,
peace,
all these things that Jesus died for, you've got to use authority over those things. Because if you don't use authority over them, then you just letting kids run around your house, kicking over stuff, breaking stuff, and the parent never say nothing. Somebody gonna say, why don't you say something to these kids? But some of us let Satan run in our lives just like that. Yeah. I love Jaquah. When Marcus got sick, Jaquah took authority. Man, you need somebody that's gonna fight with you. Isn't that what a virtuous woman is?
Yeah.
Didn't we learn that in Hebrew? Ain't no such thing as a virtuous woman. Virtuous. It never says virtuous in Hebrew. It says, find me a female soldier. That's what the Hebrew word there is. Who can find a female? She fought. She said, let me hit my knees. Jesus' name, we're taking authority over this right now in Jesus' name. And she spoke the words of the name of authority over her husband's life, and he's back there in the sound room. Wait a minute. Stage four.
Yeah.
We're not talking about, oh, you just, we found a little bit. No, stage four.
Yeah.
Authority. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
You know who was praying for Little Richard? Because nobody expect Little Richard to be saved.
Nope.
Little Richard said, I was flaming. I wasn't just gay. I was flaming. He said, my dad didn't like me because I was flamboyant with it. And then he said, but my mother kept praying. That means somebody was speaking Jesus over his life. I don't care because I'm a superstar, a millionaire, a trillionaire. Eventually, my son's going to serve Jesus.
Yeah.
And he gives a testimony before he dies a couple weeks ago. And it's all about how Jesus came and delivered him from homosexuality and how he'd been evangelizing all over the world, telling people about Jesus. So don't tell me what Jesus can't do.
Amen.
Don't tell me what Jesus can do. Jesus can do incredible things if you use the name of authority.
Yeah.
Okay? Praise. All my brothers and sisters in Christ are back in the house. Yeah. Hallelujah.
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 Elohim Tov.
Oh,
that's a beautiful thing. And I want you to know, As much authority as we have here, and we had a little birthday party for my wife. She turned in, and I already posted it. Everybody knows she's 50. Everybody, she's 5-0. And but you know we have time. We have time to enjoy each other here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we have time to support each other here, right? But there's a cloud party is about to happen.
Yes, it is.
There's a cloud party about to happen.
Yeah.
That the people that you said, oh, I'm sorry about your loss. One pastor said, man, stop saying that. He said, I didn't lose anybody. I know where he is.
Right.
I didn't lose nobody. Sorry about your loss. Next person coming to me and say, sorry about your loss. He said, I'm going to just have to tell him, I haven't lost anybody. I know where my mother is.
Right.
Amen.
I'm going to join her later.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Cloud party is right before us.
Amen.
Satan is preparing for their demise. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all heard about all the chips and the 666 stuff that they about to put on people and vaccines and all this stuff they about to do to these people? That stuff's real. That stuff's gonna happen. We didn't get a chance to read Revelation 13. All that stuff's real. It's coming. They need Jesus to escape it,
yeah.
But it's real. You can read about it all day, but Jesus told you about it in the 90 AD. So what's the big deal? Why are you getting all huffy about it? You should just go, man, our day is coming. We're about to leave.
That's right.
So praise God for being in Christ.
Yeah.
I'm in Christ.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes, I do.
I am in Christ. I was messed up. And I'm in Christ. I know y'all think I was born a pastor, but I can show you my pictures at the police station with my face if they still got them. I was not born a pastor. I was delivered. You understand?
Amen.
All All of us are going to have to.
Right.
Everybody has to be. And you know what? Let me tell you something. And I'm sorry, Pastor Ben. Let me tell you something. Grace is the most beautiful thing in the world. You know what grace is? God's love, patience, kindness with you until you, for you to get it right.
Yes.
And you know what he says? Long as you try, you're perfect.
Yes.
You know that? That's crazy. You mean as long as I'm asking for forgiveness and I'm in the battle, I'm perfect? He said, just like David, he was a perfect man.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I read that. I said he was a perfect man.
Ooh. Well,
be quiet. You don't know nothing about that. And God is the same way with each one of you. You understand? In Christ, you are perfect as long as you're fighting.
Yeah.
Only people who lose out on this, who people who get off the track and go sit down and say, I quit. I don't want to follow Jesus no more. I'm just going to live in sin.
Mm.
Those are losers.
Right.
Nobody likes a quitter.
Right, right.
But God says, you keep fighting, you are perfect.
Yeah.
Let's get ready to go.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go. Hallelujah. Brukata Adonai Eloheinu.
And you're out.